You know, I'm so glad to be back. It's been, how long has it been? 2016, beginning of 2016, I went back to Singapore. With a heavy heart, I packed up everything. You know, my wife and kids were already back in Singapore. And that was January. And in February, I received a call from my dear friend in Indonesia that he needed me to help him with running the church in Jakarta. But so nice to see so many familiar faces. Hi, Dr. Ting. So nice to see you. Jack and Michael and everyone, and even Charles up in the recording room. I remember even this place brings back so much memories. I remember laying the cable from this camera and running the cable all the way there by myself with the ladder. Wow. You know, it's sometimes it's the tough things that we do that bring forth good memories. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Greetings from Annie, my wife, and my two sons. Zachary is already graduated from university. He's already started working. Alex is at home. He's also working. So my two sons are no longer boys anymore. They're men. And who knows, in the years to come, maybe a daughter-in-law, and I don't know yet, you know, I don't know yet. But I look forward to that phase of my life. And for all of you wondering, I'm already 55, so, yeah. So, yeah, it's really wonderful to be back and to see so many familiar faces. So, before we continue, let's bow our heads in prayer before we continue. Yeah, let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather together to give you the glory, to hear from what you have to say, Lord. Lord, you've laid this word in my heart, and Lord, I ask, Lord, that I submit myself before you, Lord, that you anoint my lips and every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, before your throne. I submit myself in my frailty, Lord, to share what you've laid in my heart. And that, Lord, a word will go forth with power, Lord. And it will not return void, but it will bear much fruit in the hearts of the hearers. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you till the soils of every heart of the hearer, Lord, this day, whether they're here today or whether they're watching online. And that, Lord, that you, your name will be glorified in the result of what we are listening to today, Father, Lord. Lord, we ask that you continue to guide us, lead us in everything that we do, that we do everything for the glory of your name and for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yes. Now, you know, I'm just to give you a little background. When I went back in 2016, went over to Indonesia in 2016, I never knew what I was getting into. Sometimes when God calls you, he doesn't give you everything. He doesn't give you the plan or the five-year plan or the, sometimes you don't even have the six-month plan. But God is amazing. Because even in the difficult times, not only when we cry out to him, not only when we ask him, when we seek him with all our heart, he will provide not just the things that we need, the people we need as well, the means to do it. It has been an incredible journey. I never perceived that I would be involved, for example, in an organization. I'm with the Assemblies of God. And in this time that I've been there, we have transformed, in a way, the organization from being a denomination that receives missionaries to one that is now sending out missionaries. Yeah, Indonesia always receives missionaries, but now we are sending out missionaries because of the numbers of people in Indonesia that are working outside Indonesia. For example, in Taiwan, we have 250,000 migrant workers who have never heard the gospel message. And I'm really happy to be part of this church before, which has such a focus on missions, and to see that there are, we are sending out at the end of the month two families to Taipei and Kaohsiung to reach out to these who are mainly caregivers, domestic helpers, and it is an opportunity for them to hear the gospel message for the first time. It's really an incredible time. And some people say, oh, Indonesia is a place where persecution of Christians. Yes, that exists. But if you think about it, there are as many Christians in Indonesia as there are Australians in Australia. I'll give you an example. 250 million, we're talking 10%. That is 25 million Christians in Indonesia. So there is a potential for Indonesia to become the next sending nation of missionaries. Just think about that. Amazing. And Australia has had so much a part to play in this, in nurturing the spreading of the gospel message. And we thank you. Whatever support that you've been giving to whatever, it could be an orphanage, it could be some, and I know that you were involved in orphanage giving to Nias and also to one in Bogor. Thank you so much. And I guess I should carry on with the message for today. Yeah? Now, beloved, I want to say this very clearly. We are living in very strange times. In fact, I like to use the word crazy times. Yeah? It seems that we think we have seen it all, and suddenly something more ridiculous seems to be coming our way. Yeah? Yeah? Just to give you an example, several years ago, in this city of Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is well known as a publishing center for Christians and other academic books, a person tried to sue the two biggest publishers of Bible publishers, that was Zondervan and Thomas Nelson. And he tried to sue it for $60 million. Just because the person was offended by what was written in the Bible. Now, he couldn't sue the author, obviously, because God is the author. So he decided to go for the publishers. And what was it that he was offended with? He was offended with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And I know maybe if I were to share this, maybe I might get in trouble, but never mind. I'm doing this because I sense the Lord has placed this message that I need to share with all of you. And it says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Yeah. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the reason this person filed the lawsuit was because the person claimed that these words found in the Bible were offensive and it affected his self-esteem. But beloved, these words of scriptures, which are meant to convict and to bring mankind, to bring mankind to repent and forsake the sins that are mentioned, imagine that they didn't look at it as a correction, but they looked at it as something as maybe even hate speech. In fact, just at the beginning of the year, a member of parliament from Finland was acquitted of posting hate speech on the handphone. And what were they posting? Same verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. But fortunately, the case was dismissed. But imagine that. It actually cost the state 600,000 euros, which the state had to pay in compensation of legal costs to that member of parliament. So we are living in quite weird and crazy times, yeah? Instead of blaming their own sin, they blame the Bible or whoever cites the Bible. Yeah? Instead of re-examining their lifestyle, they blame the Bible or whoever cites the Bible for making them feel bad. And beloved, this is one of the challenges we as Christians face today. As we see the day of Christ's imminent return, we see things happening. We see people are less willing to hear what God has to say or claiming that the Word of God is hateful or unloving. In other words, the world has grown or developed a certain dislike or despising what God has to say. And yet, beloved, I want to declare to you that there was a time that God spoke and everyone on the planet heard what God had to say. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And some of you might say, no, Pastor, I don't think that's true. Well, it happened. When? It happened in the beginning. And it happened in the beginning of creation, and it will happen at the end for each and every one of us as we will need to each of us give an account unto God. Amen? Yeah? But back to this day in history, for that particular day, when they heard the voice of God, God asked humanity 3 questions. And beloved, I believe God is still asking humanity these 3 questions today. And in light of all the senseless, crazy things that are happening, even senseless violence that's taking place across the world, you know, I remember as I was preparing this message how several months ago Christians were gathering in a church in Nigeria and 50 persons were killed in church during a Sunday service. Yeah, and of course we know of all the countless senseless gun violence in the American schools. How even in a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, or a school in Texas, it's just simply senseless. And it seems meaningless that although humanity claims to be coming more advanced, yet it seems to be regressing into becoming more vicious and brutal through all the senseless acts of violence. Most of these things you see, you don't understand why, right? And it's no surprise that when tragedy happens, whether it's an accidental tragedy or a senseless act of violence, it's no surprise. It always leads to questions that people ask, where's God in all this? Where's God in all this? People will begin to ask these questions regularly as they see more and more senseless violence acts happen. And what should that do? It should cause them to ask what these 3 questions ask. Yeah? But I would like to go back to that time again when God asked humanity some questions. Just after the biggest tragedy that ever happened, when sin entered into the world. And that continues to be the root cause of all these tragedies that we are dealing with in the world, when sin entered to the world. And may I invite you to look at it from God's perspective. And I want to start with the question which God posed to all humanity at the time. And perhaps we will have a greater understanding of the seriousness of this first tragedy at creation when sin entered the world. And let me give you a little bit of background on the setting which we are about to read. Let me tell you about this day, the time at the beginning of creation, the population at the time, just 2, Adam and Eve. And the location was the Garden of Eden, and the questions that were asked after the ultimate tragedy that happened when sin entered the world. And God began to speak then, and I believe He still continues to speak and ask these questions. And yet today we are living days where people don't seem to want to know what God has to say. Because what God has to say is going against what people's opinions, people's personal liberties and lifestyles and values that society has chosen to embrace. Just as we've seen by that lawsuit of the publishing house as well as the criminal charges against that member of parliament in Finland. Yeah. But I want to show you what these 3 questions are when we turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 13. And let's see what these 3 questions are. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 to 13. So when the woman saw the tree, that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate. And you know the story, right? He eats it. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And here it is in verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, first question, where are you? In verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, yeah, who told you, second question, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And then the man said, the woman, typical blame the woman, yeah? Okay, never mind. That's not the point. The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. And verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Third question. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So here are the three questions which the Lord God asked humanity. And here are the three questions that he continues to ask today. Where are you? Who told you? And what is this you have done? Now, beloved, the three questions again, where are you, who told you, and what is it you have done? Now, God asked these questions on that tragic day when sin entered to the world. He asked these questions pertaining to the sin that has happened. And people don't like to talk about sin nowadays. What is sin? You know, the Bible says this in 1 John 3, verse 4, that sin is lawlessness. But let me give you my personal definition of sin as I understand it from God's word. Sin, it is, you know, the definition of sin is, it is living life on my own terms with no regard for God, my creator and my redeemer. That is what sin is. Living life autonomously without any fear or reverence for God, the God who created you and I. The main problem with sin in this world, as the great theologian Oswald Chambers said, is we have to recognize that sin is a fact. It's not a defect. Sin is a red-handed mutiny against God. Either God or sin must die in my life and your life. If sin rules in me, God's life in me will be killed. If God rules in me, sin in me will be killed. Yeah? So as we go into these three questions, God asks humanity, where are you? Who told you? And what is this you have done? Now, beloved, I want to be very clear about this. Yeah? And I need to take this very clear. When God is asking these questions, he's not looking for information. Can I get an amen? God is asking these questions because he wants to know whether we know the situation that we are in. You know, perhaps I need to use this story to illustrate. Yeah? One of the most well-known detective characters who loved to ask questions to solve mysteries was, how many of you have heard of Sherlock Holmes? Yeah? He always used questions to find out the answer. And what happens was this famous detective and his assistant, Dr. Watson, they're sleeping in a tent and in a field. And at 3 a.m., Sherlock Holmes awakens and asks his assistant the first question, Watson, look up and tell me what you see. And Dr. Watson replies, I see millions of stars. The second question Holmes asks, and what does this tell you? And Watson answers, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astronomically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo, while theologically, it tells me God is great and we are small and insignificant. Horologically, it tells me that it is now around 3 a.m., and meteorologically, it tells me that we are going to have a very nice, clear, and good, beautiful day tomorrow. And then Watson asked the detective, "What does it tell you, Holmes?" And Sherlock Holmes replies, "Someone has stolen our tent." And beloved, this is the problem with humanity. Humanity doesn't want to realize the obvious. And what is the obvious? That we have lost, mankind has lost its covering. The covering that all of humanity needs is gone. Yet as we are oblivious to it and are choosing to look to other non-essentials, it is so inherent in our nature that even the famous psychologist Dr. Daniel Kahneman said, we can be blind to the obvious and we are also blind to our blindness. We talk about everything except the obvious, yeah? We always seem to be having something to say. Particularly now, what are we saying? Talking about environment. Yeah? We're talking about the environment. Of course, now conflict in the Ukraine and potential conflict with Taiwan, North Korea. And so it goes. But we're forgetting the obvious. They keep asking, where is God? But they fail to ask the important question. They actually ought to be asking, where is God in all of this? Or they should be asking, what does God have to say about this? Beloved, it's time to bring back God into every situation that you and I face in our lives. Because God has been asking from the very beginning, where are you? Who told you? And what is this you have done? So, beloved, in the next few moments as I speak, let's not wander into other things. Let's stay focused. Let's look at what we ought to be doing. Let's not get distracted by thoughts on what we're going to have for lunch after church. Or perhaps our household gardening chores or DIY home improvement schemes for today. Put that aside first and let us listen as we begin to understand what has been lost. When we understand that, then we can go about our lives with a greater conviction to live this life with a purpose for God. So the first question he asked, where are you? Where are you? And beloved, when God asked Adam, where are you? It was because Adam wasn't where he was supposed to be in his daily activities. Adam's daily routine time with God was skipped. And we see in Genesis 3:8 that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Beloved, I believe prior to the fall, Adam would have the daily routine walk with the Lord. And the reason why God asked the question was because on that tragic day, Adam wasn't where he was supposed to be. God showed up for the daily appointment, but Adam wasn't there. So God asked, where are you, Adam? God was present, but man was absent. And since then, humanity has decided to walk without God. And since then, things haven't gotten better, have they? It's gotten worse. Man is now hiding from God. God asks humanity, where are you? When he asks that, he's asking, what is God really asking? God is asking, why are you walking without me? Why are you no longer walking with me? Why do you think that you can do this life on your own? Beloved, for Christians here today, we need to remember, God is already with us. Yeah, God is already with us. And he's waiting for us to have fellowship with him. And how do we do that? Through time in his word, time in prayer with him, time when we are in his presence, worshiping him each time when we gather together. And I want to encourage you, since COVID is over, it's time to come back, not forsake the gathering of the saints, even more so as we see the day of Christ approaching. And Jesus is coming back soon. I want to tell you that Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah? And that is why I believe, you know, whether it's here in Grace City Church or whatever, wherever church, of those of you watching online, gather back to church. Come back to church. Don't use live streaming unless you really cannot come. But make it a point to come together physically with the saints. And I'm not sure all of you are encouraged to take the time to read the Word of God. I'm sure all of you are told to, but you need to make that a daily habit. Yeah? If you do read the Word of God, how many of you read the Word of God every day? Okay, don't look around when you do that, because I want you all Okay, those of you who do that, I want to encourage you, do it first thing in the morning. Yeah? Why? Because when you read the Word of God in the morning, it prepares you for the rest of the day. Don't wait until you read the Word of God at the end of the day because you got a lot of complaints. God, why this, why that? Then your reading of God's Word becomes a complaint session rather than an input session from God. Amen? Yeah. Then, you know, we need to ask ourselves, God is waiting for you to walk with him each day. Yeah? God is waiting. When he asks you each day, he's asking this question every day. Where are you? Take the time to come and spend time with him. In the morning, take time to be with him, just as he's asking. And answer that question, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm waiting for you too, Lord. Yeah? The question we should ask when God asks, where are you, is that, are we walking with him each day? That's what we should be answering. Amen? However, nowadays when somebody asks you, where are you? It usually refers to a question, where do you stand on certain issues? Where do you stand on political or environmental issues? Where do you stand, and now it's the LGBT issue, where do you stand on same-sex marriage? Where do you stand on the political future of this country? It's always about where we stand on issues of where we are now. Humanity has lost the covering of God, and humanity has decided to ignore the obvious things and chooses to talk about other issues, when the obvious question we should ask is, where do you stand with God? When people ask you, where are you? They want to know on which side you stand. And let me say this plainly and clearly. What we should answer should be from the Word of God. You know, when life is over, only one thing matters. Only one side matters. When life is over, what matters is similar to the cry of Moses in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. When he asks, who is on the Lord's side? That is really the most important question that we should be concerned with. Whatever your ideas or thoughts may be, you better be on God's side. Amen? Because that is the side that matters most. That is the question that God poses to all here today. And those even are watching online, which side are you on? You ought to be on, let's say it together, let's be on God's side. The next question that God asked humanity is this: who told you? Who told you? This goes back to Eve being deceived because she listened to one voice who told her that she could be like God, when she ought to have been obedient to the only voice that instructed her. And that voice was the voice that she should have listened to, was the voice of God. And today, beloved, I plead with you. One voice calls out to you, but the voice of God is being drowned out by a myriad of other noises, voices, personalities, whether it's political parties or organizations or persuasions. I believe that this Word of God, the Word of God that's in the Bible, and the leading of the Holy Spirit is what the Lord has given to us to rely on, even in this day and age. Some people might say the Bible is obsolete, the Holy Spirit is a make-believe. No. Beloved, that's why I encourage you, first thing in the morning, read the Word and take time to pray. It seems the world is choosing a different voice or different personas to listen to. And it seems whenever Jesus' name is mentioned, particularly, you know, I notice in Western and developed world, in developed countries, people tend to sneer or mock. And there's this ever-increasing repulsive reaction or a contemptuous attitude towards the truth found in Christ and in His church. And I notice many countries tend to look up. The country that I'm serving in, Indonesia, they tend to look up to countries like the United States and even Australia. This mindset is very prevalent from where I've been to. I've been serving Indonesia, in the Philippines, in Malaysia, in Thailand. They all look up to the West. And when people talk about the greatness of the West, I say it is true of years past. Yeah, but now I see a culture and a way of thinking which has lost its identity. A society that is spiraling into decline, even deteriorating into hopelessness because their leaders have decided to listen to other voices while ignoring the voice of God. You know, the world needs to return to the covering and the voice of God. We need to be the church of Jesus Christ because that covering is upon us and we need to be strong as the church of Christ. Amen? So many, you know, it's sad to see many churches hardly ever read or preach from the Word of God anymore. It's simply so sad. Some churches choose to hear the voice of human motivation, or they even decide to give what everybody wants. Church becomes whatever the majority wants. Yeah. And yet many of them fail to realize that the godless majority has always been, is always, and will always be wrong. Yeah. The Word of God stands the test of time, and I've seen, right now we see churches preferring to go with what has been called progressive, preferring to try a new way, a new thought, a new mindset, but failing to realize that there is nothing new under the sun. Yeah? You know, we see in America now the Methodist Church splitting. Sadly, splitting over this LGBT issue. Yeah, where one says it is sin, the other says no, it's not sin. Big problem. But what does the Word of God say? What has the Word of God say? They've steered away from what the Word of God says. Churches and leaders have compromised the truth to be seen as progressive. Rather, they'd rather be seen as progressive. They'd rather be seen as modern or even compassionate. But in reality, it's a compromise of God's truth and a condoning of sin. And I'm sure it has been happening in Australia and the rest of the world. Slowly but surely, there's an erosion in the Christian values based upon the Word of God. They've ignored the Word of God and conveniently call what they choose to reject. The Word of God, they choose to reject it. Why? They call it old-fashioned. And all in the appearance of being loving and embracing the marginalized, forgetting that the actions of the so-called marginalized are outright sin. They have chosen to ignore the voice of God found first and foremostly in the Word of God. It's in the Bible that you and I have in our hands. They say on average in the developed world, every household has more than 4 Bibles. Agreed? Maybe more? Yeah. But the thing is, if we are not walking in the Word of God daily, if we're not reading the Word of God daily, how can we hope to be continue to be led by the Holy Spirit that will always confirm what the Word of God says? You know, the next question really shows us the nature of the world to be free. The desire to be free has made things worse. And the question is, what is this you have done? This question which God asked Eve was never really answered. You know, she just said, oh, the serpent told me. I was deceived by the serpent. What she should have said is, God, I disobeyed what you told me to do. That's the real answer. You know, as mentioned earlier, God was not looking for information, but God was looking to see if the person he asked, if Eve knew what she had done. And we need to understand that God is not mocked. What the nations reap, they will sow. Let me use this particular country for example. I know many people always use America as the benchmark, right? They always say, what is America doing? You know? But it is happening right now in front of our eyes. For us to understand it, we ought to look and learn from it. The nation of the United States and the Western culture. You know, beloved, a nation which began having proclaimed their very existence as ordained by God. In their Pledge of Allegiance, they declare that they are one nation under God. And in fact, now they're having some political discussion as to change their pledge. Because one nation under God means it is monotheistic. There's only one God. But they're having a lot of debate about that. This is the only country which proclaims on their currency, in God we trust. But they are removing God from the classrooms and from the schools, from their courtrooms and from their judiciary. So much so that now the name of Jesus, when you walk along the streets of America, the name of Jesus is more of a swear word than a word to preach peace, love, and compassion. And what is this you have done? God asks. Recently, or rather, as you know, probably in July, there was that shooting, the senseless violence in the schools. And it's heartbreaking to see that 19 children, 10 years and below, were gunned down in a school in Texas 2 days before the start of their summer holidays. You know, before the tragedy, the families were planning for vacations. After the tragedies, the families were planning funerals. How sad this can be, yeah? Whatever these tragedies happen, I'm sure many ask, where is God? Or why has God allowed this? But God, I'm sure, replied as the third question, what is this you have done? The country and the leaders have taken God out of the schools. Why? Because the nation has decided and prioritized their personal freedom And what does the personal freedom mean? It means that I can do whatever I want. Whatever we want, whatever I want, is more important than to live under the restrictive covering. God has a covering. It might seem restrictive. When we are wearing clothes, it might seem restrictive. I was just thinking, I was commenting to Pastor Stewart, that when I came, this was quite loose. Now, after meeting several people, it's become quite tight, becoming restrictive. But that's what it means, in the sense that people want freedom. I better go and see my tailor after that when I go back. But seriously, it's as though God has already given us the boundaries to keep us protected. And He's placed warning signs through the Word of God to protect us. But humanity chooses to ignore these warning signs and barriers just to see how far they can go. How close to the edge can I go before something happens? A few months ago, I read about a man who climbed into the lion enclosure in a zoo. How many of you saw that? And it wasn't easy to climb in. He climbed in and was instantly attacked and killed by the lions. But the sad part was, why did he do that? He climbed in, went through those difficult barriers, passed all the warning signs, climbed over that difficult fence. Why? Because he wanted to take an Instagram video of himself, hoping to get 500,000 likes. What a waste. You know, he did it anyway, because he thought he could get 500,000 likes on Instagram for his crazy act, but he paid with his life. But beloved, let me say this so that we all understand. 150 million likes, or maybe a billion likes, on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever medium, will not change the truth. We often get confused on this, but let me make it clear. Government policy cannot change the truth. We can vote on policy, but no amount of votes can change the truth. The majority doesn't change the truth. As I said, the majority, the godless majority, is almost always wrong. And let me state some very clear truths that humanity has tried to change, yeah, just by using their vote. Yet we cannot change these immutable, unchangeable truths. Number one, God created man and woman. We don't get to change that. Amen? Genesis 1:27. Number two, marriage is between a man and a woman. Genesis 2:24. I have to make sure I put it, I mention the verses in case somebody decides to say, I want to sue this Pastor Lionel because he quote. I'm quoting from the Bible. Because we cannot redefine what God has defined. We cannot pronounce what God has pronounced, right? Number three, and this is what we all must believe in. There is no other way under heaven that we can get to God except through Jesus Christ. Because in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. These are Christ's words. Cannot change. Yeah? Now as I conclude, I felt the Lord lay this upon my heart. You know, I'm coming to a close. I think I've gone over time. You know, beloved, if we are those who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be in continued fellowship with Him. And one of the best ways is to abide in Him regularly in the reading of His Word. And one of the things that I encourage you, we all need to do this on a daily basis. If I give you a plate of rice every day to eat, you can eat it, right? But if you don't feed the Word of God for 1 week, it's like giving you seven plates of rice and ask you to finish it. Cannot. You won't be able to digest it. We need to take that time. We need the time to be in fellowship together as the body of Christ. We need, you know, it is, as we have communion with Him in prayer, we are strengthened, we are encouraged. It's time to get more serious with God, to get really serious with God, because we are in the last days. How many of you agree with it? Say amen. Amen. We are in the last days. For those of you watching online, I want to encourage you. Yeah, I'm not asking you that you must join this church, but get a hold of a church that preaches from the Word of God. Don't look for churches that just make you feel good. Very often, the corrective truth of God may not make you feel good, but it is the love of a father that will correct a wayward child. And the problem in this generation we live in, people, when they hear something unpleasant, I don't like it, it's not nice. But they don't realize that it's good. Yeah? We need to get serious with God. Yeah, and I'm asking for believers to get back to the church. The church doors are open now. Come back to church. Yeah? It's time to really get serious with the Word of God. Be careful of churches who, just because they want to be popular with people or of a particular orientation, ignore or compromise what God has called sin since the very beginning of time. Sin mentioned in the Bible is still sin, even if it's legalized. Yeah? Pastors who compromise on the truth, pastors who ignore the Word of God, are leading people astray. And those who are led astray will suffer, but the pastors will also have to be accountable. I encourage all who are here and are watching to be in a church that takes the Word of God seriously and be obedient to what it says. It need not be any more complicated than that. But most of all, come back to church. Let us not forsake the gathering of the saints, even more so as we see the day of Christ approaching. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father Lord, you've laid this word in my heart and I've shared it as best as I can. I pray, Father Lord, that, oh Lord, plant a fire as we sang just now, this is a church on fire. Lord, I pray for renewed fire in the hearts of your people here today and those who are watching. Those who have not returned back to church since it's gone online and have become complacent. Oh Lord, it's so comfortable to be home watching it on TV or on the computer, but Lord, there is something about being in the gathering of saints, lifting hands, holy hands in praise and worship, where the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us, where the presence of God is freely felt, the strong encouragement of a body of believers worshiping together. Oh, what a wonderful presence. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for the return of those who have been away. But more so, Lord, I pray for a rekindling of the fire in the hearts of your people here in this place. Let them take it to heart. These are serious times we live in. It's time for the church to gather, to call a holy hustle, to gather, to mobilize, to
volunteer to serve. It's because when we are serving together, when we are worshiping together, we build one another up. So Lord, I pray that Grace City Church will experience an empowering, a desire to want to serve, a desire to want to grow in maturity, a passion for the Word of God, a passion for intimacy in prayer. Oh Lord, rekindle that fire, Lord, in your people. We thank you, Lord, for a vision that has started this church and, Lord, will continue in the years to come, Lord. Your holy fire will go forth from this place, oh Lord, and touch lives, transform minds, and, oh Lord, soften hearts to experience the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and praise you, and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
We want to thank the Lord for giving us His word this morning through Pastor Lionel. Thank you, Pastor Lionel, for being faithful and being obedient to share with us the word of the Lord. Now, I'd just like to give us a chance to respond to the word of the Lord this morning. And I'm just, as Pastor Lionel was going through the 3 points, the 3 questions, I'd just like to, for us to just think back about these 3 questions and let this be your response to the Lord. Okay? First question, where are you? Are we where God wants us to be with Him each day? Are we walking with Him each day? The second question, who told you? Whose voice are we giving attention to? Whose voice are we following? The third question, what is this you have done? Are we willing to own up and to confront the issues of our life that God is bringing to the surface? Are we willing to submit to God's authority and to enthrone God as the Lord over every area of our lives? Would you respond to the Lord right now?